We're at Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through to the end. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." We know that God will bless the reading of his precious word. This is part of the great sermon known as the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord Jesus Christ preached. It fills out three chapters of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And it's a good read because Christ speaks about many things. He refers to many things that relate to you and I in the sermon. So it's by no means a boring read. It's a very interesting read. And Christ gave this Sermon on the Mount as an example of the kind of life which his followers were to lead by faith. In it we see the standards and the principles that God expects from us. We see God's holiness. And you know, friends, God's standards and principles, they do not change from age to age. They do not alter from one day to the next. What I would say is that the Sermon on the Mount is not a means of attaining righteousness. The only one who was able to come up to the standard that's laid down here was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But it's a guide for us to follow. A guide to a walk that enables us to have fellowship with God. And the only way that we can fulfill many of these principles and standards that are laid down here is by the help and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We'll never do it on our own strength. It's only in His strength and by His Spirit that we'll be able to follow them. I just want to take out of it a little text this morning. And our text is found in verse 41. And this is what it says. Jesus said this. He says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And what he's saying is that you need to be prepared to go the second mile. We want to think this morning about going the second mile with God. I've entitled the sermon, Second Mile Religion. I wonder, are you into it this morning? Going the second mile. Second mile religion. You know, I've noticed that the world is always prepared to go the second mile in the things that they seek after. Quite a number of years ago, in the early 90s, Two football teams in England reached the final of the FA Cup. One was from Yorkshire and the other was from London. And of course the Yorkshire people had to travel right down through the middle of the country to Wembley, whereas the team that came from London, their followers, they were, you would almost say, at home. And so they played the final, and after extra time, it was a one-all draw. Nobody had won, and it was before the days of the sudden death penalty. And so a time was arranged, another day was arranged, and the following Thursday, they had the replay, and again the people from Yorkshire travelled down through the country to follow their team. And at the end of that match, after extra time, it was still a draw. And so they had to arrange a third match, and again the same thing happened. And that was pointed out in the newspapers about the distance that one team's followers had to travel over the others. You see, they were prepared to go that extra mile to follow their team. It's the same when we come round to things like Wimbledon each year. See people queuing up on the footpaths with their sleeping bags, sitting out all night to get two tickets for the centre court when some of the great players are playing. One can turn from sport to pop concerts, and you see these pop stars coming and people travelling for miles and queuing for hours just to get that ticket. When it comes to the January sales, we have people getting up in the middle of the night to get first in the queue, or if you're over in London, they queue up from Christmas Day so as to get first in the queue. There's people in the world, and they're prepared to go the extra mile to follow their team to get what they want, to obtain that ticket. The question is this morning, are we prepared to go the extra mile for God? My dear friends, are we prepared to go that extra distance for God? You know, in the scriptures, we see God went the extra mile. God the Father went the second mile in love. He not only said he loved us, but he proved he loved us. He gave his only begotten Son. God the Son went the extra mile in suffering. He went all the way to Calvary. He went down into the depths and darkness of Golgotha to bear your sins and mine. God the Holy Spirit went the second mile in long suffering, because I'm sure that God maybe had to speak to your heart more than once, maybe twice or many more times before you came to that place where you put your faith in Christ and trusted him as your Savior. Thank God this morning that the Lord went the extra mile for us. God has went the extra mile in the blessings he has bestowed upon us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Dear friends, are we willing to go the extra mile for him? Jesus says, whosoever shall ask thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Going the extra mile in love. You know, the thing that the Lord wants most of all from us is our love. You remember Mary expressed her love and how much love she had for the Savior when she was prepared to sacrifice that pound of ointment, and she anointed the Savior with the ointment. My dear friends, I wonder, are we prepared to go the extra mile in love for Christ? Her love brought her right down to his feet in worship and adoration. What about going the second mile in love for one another? The Lord Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples in the upper room, he gave them a new commandment that's sometimes called the 11th commandment. And he says, a new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another. And then he told them how he wanted them to love one another. He says, I want you to love one another even as I have loved you. And you know, friends, that's a high standard. That's a high bar to reach. Because he loved us as no one else ever loved us. He loved us with a sacrificial love. I wonder, do we go the second mile in love for one another? Do we really love our brethren and sisters in Christ this morning? Going the second mile in love for your enemies? My, he says here, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, it's easy to love those that love us. But God wants us to love those who don't love us. God wants us to love those who don't like us. And dear friends, whether we like it or not, there's times when people just don't like us. And you know, it's hard to do. When you know that somebody doesn't like you and they have something against you, it's hard to love them. My dear friends, I wonder, can we go the second mile? Well, we'll only go the second mile in loving our enemies by the grace of God and by the help of the Spirit of God. It's only by the Holy Ghost filling us and controlling us that we'll be enabled to love them that hate us and those that speak against us. Going the second mile in love. Dear friends, I wonder, are we prepared to go the second mile in service for God? There's a lovely story in the book of Genesis, chapter 29. You know, Jacob fell in love with Rachel. And he came to her father and asked for her hand in marriage. And they entered into a contract that Jacob would serve Laban 7 years for the hand of Rachel in marriage. And Jacob served 7 years. And it says they were but a few days for the love that he had for her. Man, it just seemed like a few days. They passed by quickly because his eye was on that time when the 7 years would be complete and he would be able to take Rachel to be his wife. And when the 7 years were up, Jacob came to take Rachel, and Laban said, no, you'll have to take Leah because Leah is the eldest. And Jacob served a second 7 years for Rachel. He went the second mile in service. Dear friends, I wonder, are we prepared to go that extra bit and give that extra time and exhort that extra enemy and commit ourselves, my, to serving the Lord? My dear friends, I wonder, are we prepared to put ourselves out when it comes to serving the Lord? Sometimes people say, well, you know, I've done my bit. I'm off now. I'm stepping down. Let somebody else come in and do it. Dear friends, going the second mile. When Jacob had served, he was willing to serve a second term. My, when the Hebrew slave had the liberty and freedom to go out free from his master, he committed himself to his master for the rest of his life. I wonder, friends, are we ready to go the second mile for Jesus Christ this morning, going the second mile in love, going the second mile in service? What about going the second mile in giving and giving? There's a lovely little phrase over in the book of Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 23:26. And God says this. He says, "My son, give me thy heart." I think that's a lovely phrase. And that's what God says to me this morning. And that's what he says to you today. He says, "My son, give me thy heart." You know, when we talk about giving our heart, we speak about giving our all. When we talk about loving someone with all our heart, my, we love them with every fiber of our being. And God is asking you, dear child of God, this morning, to give him all of yourself, to give him your heart, to give him your time, to give him your talents, to give him your tithes. Remember that story over in Mark's Gospel when Jesus sat at the treasury, and my, he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and it says many that were rich cast in much, and God blessed them for that. That's not to be looked down on. Many that were rich cast in much, but there came a widow, a poor widow, it says, and she threw in two mites, which was the equivalent of a farthing. Yes, and he said to his disciples, "My, this poor widow hath cast in more than all they that have cast into the treasury, for they did cast in out of their abundance, but she has cast in all that she had, even all her living." She gave out of her want. You know, friends, those that were rich may have given 20 or 30 or 40 pounds in our money. She only gave the equivalent of a farthing. They gave out of their abundance, but they didn't give all. But she gave all that she had. She gave all. You know, some years ago, a young woman who was a mother of three of a family, her husband had left her, and she attended one of the churches in the association here. You know, after a while she got saved, began to infiltrate into the church. Everybody loved her. She had to scrape and scrounge to keep her kids and clothes and all the rest of it. And then a special meeting came along, one of these team meetings when all the women was expected to provide sandwiches, rolls, bread, tray bakes, you know the score. And you know, when the women of the church thought about the young woman, they decided not to ask her, not to put any further burden on her, because they realized, my, her situation. But the young woman came to them and she insisted that she would be included in providing for the visitors. And so she cut back for 2 or 3 weeks on her grocery bill for the home, in order that she could provide that she was asked. You know, friend, she was going the second mile. Going the second mile and giving. Oh, dear friends, wonder, are we prepared to go the second mile in giving? We're going to have a soup lunch today. I've never been at one before. I don't know what sort of soup I'll take. Don't know how many choices there'd be. I've never been at one before. But you know, friends, we're seeking to give that which we would normally spend on our Sunday lunch And by the size of some of you men, you could eat a leg of lamb on your own. I wonder, are you prepared to go the second mile? Because there's children today and they'll not even get a bowl of soup for their dinner. And I'm not just talking about overseas. I'm talking about situations here in Northern Ireland. And kids will not even have any kind of dinner today. Dear friends, when we think of what Christ gave on that cross for me and you, when we think of how much he gave, he went the second mile for you and me that we might have salvation through him. I wonder, are we prepared to go the second mile for him? My, this is second mile religion. Are you into it this morning? Second mile religion in love, going the second mile in service, going the second mile in giving. What about going the second mile in prayer? Everywhere I go, prayer meetings are getting lower and lower and lower. Seems that many don't want to pray. My dear friends, some don't even go the first mile in prayer, never mind the second. And yet, it's one of the most important things in our Christian life, and one of the most important things in the life of any church. Dear friends, wonder if you ever think about going to the prayer meeting? What about going to the prayer meeting on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or through the week? You know, Abraham went the second mile in prayer. Do you remember when the news came that God was going to move in judgment upon the cities of the plain in Genesis 18? And it says that Abraham drew near and he prayed to God for the cities. The reason he had such a burden for the cities of the plain was that Abraham had a nephew there and his wife and family, a nephew called Lot. And Abraham came in before the Lord and he says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous in the city, would you spare the city? And my God says, I'll spare the city if there's 50 righteous. And Abraham came back again and he says, Lord, if there's 40 and 5, would you spare the city? And God says, if there's 40 and 5, I'll spare it. And he came back and he says, Lord, if there's 40, if there's 30, and he came right down to 10. My dear friends, he was praying. He was going the second mile in prayer for his loved one Lot. Oh, dear friends, have you a loved one this morning? Have you a loved one under the danger of God's condemnation and judgment on the right side of Christ? How much time do we spend praying for them? Mothers and fathers, this morning, now's the time to pray for your children when they're young, when you have an influence over them. I look out and I fear when I see the world that they're growing up into, and I fear what it'll be in the next 5 or 10 or 15 years. Now's the time to pray for your children. Pray for them. Pray that God would have mercy and save them. God has his own time and God's ways. My Daniel went the second mile when he was a man between 80 and 90 years of age. Do you remember he prayed for 3 full weeks? He says, neither did I anoint myself. I ate no pleasant bread until the 3 full weeks were fulfilled. Elijah is another one. He sent his servant 7 times. Dear friends, going the second mile. It's worthwhile going the second mile in prayer because God hears and answers prayer. And I was saying about praying for your children, that's right. Doesn't mean that they'll get saved when they're children. You may have to wait a while. My wife has a niece, and she was prayed for since she was a little baby in the cot. And we just heard a couple of weeks back about a 35 years of age. That young woman realized that she could go no further. And she came to Christ and trusted Him. Dear friends, just let's leave our friends, our loved ones, and our children with God. But leave them there. Make sure you leave them there. And God will do it in His own time and His own way. Going the second mile for souls. I'm nearly finished. Dear friends, have we a burden this morning? Have we a vision? Or have we lost the burden and the vision? I think of that man who was sick of a palsy. And the news came that Jesus Christ was in the vicinity. And it seems he had four good friends. And they thought to themselves, you know, if we could get John or Peter, who or whatever his name was, if we could get him to Jesus Christ, man, this man has power to heal people. He has been healing people of their diseases. And so they come along and they get him onto a stretcher and they bear this man on this bed or on this stretcher. But lo and behold, when they turn the corner, the place is packed and there's not even so much room as about the door. And you know, they could have easily put down the bed and stretcher and looked at one another and said, well, you know, we did our best. But there's no way we're going to get through this crowd and bring this, our friend, to Jesus. We'll just have to take him back home again. But they didn't do that, friends. My, they took this man and they thought, you know, if we could get him up onto that roof, and through some means they get him up onto the roof, and then they broke up the tiles that were on the roof and they let him down to Jesus' feet. And they said, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And the man arose and took up his bed and walked. And he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Dear friends, we need to get people to Christ. The days of waiting on them coming in through the door of their own accord is gone. And we need to use whatever means we can to try to get people to the gospel. Man, these men were prepared to break up the roof. I don't know how that would go on or what that would be thought of today if somebody got somebody up onto the roof. You know what I'm saying? Probably be a few deacons' meetings called then, I would think. Yes? Dear friends, let's not be too easily put off. Let's be prepared. You're prepared to go for that person. You're prepared to bring them in your car. You're prepared to go out of your way to try to win them for the Lord. I believe if we want to see people saved, we have to go the second mile in evangelism. We're all interested in evangelism. I'm sure there's not one here who's not interested in it this morning. We're all interested in it. Are you prepared to go the second mile? Going the second mile. Dear friends, there's a second mile in submission. Second mile in obedience. Second mile. You know, Saul the king obeyed God some of the way, but not part of it. My, when he was told to destroy Amalek and all of the sheep and of the oxen, my, he saw that there was some of them, my, that would suit him. And so he spurred Agag and some of the sheep and some of the oxen. And Samuel confronted him. My dear friends, Samuel said, what meaneth the lowing of thee? the sheep that I hear. Prepared to go 1 mile. If the second mile means believer's baptism, you're prepared to go the second mile. The second mile means church membership. You're prepared to go the second mile. Dear friends, this morning, listen to what the Lord Jesus said. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. The Lord went the second mile for you. Are you prepared to go the second mile for him? Let's start today to practice second mile religion. Let's go that extra mile for God. Amen. Amen. Let's bow together for a word. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning. We confess, Lord, personally, that in times gone by we've failed Thee. We've fallen short, Lord. We've gone 1 mile, but we failed to go two. We thank You that You went all of the way for me. Help me to go all